Hi everyone, my name is Vera Sekulov and I'm going to present to you today my PhD research, The Effects of Gradual Filling on Greenhouse Gas Emissions from Liquid Dairy Manure. Alright, so I'll start off with an introduction. So in Canada, about 8% of the greenhouse gas emissions are from the agricultural sector. It's important to reduce these emissions in order to meet national emission goals, especially with increasing production and sustainability requirements for market access. So for liquid dairy manure storage, which you can see examples of in this picture, methane is the predominant gas that's emitted. Nitrous oxide, N2O, is also emitted, and it has nearly 300 times the global warming CO2 equivalent. However, even though methane only has less than 30, the vast quantity of methane that's emitted means that it is the largest global warming contributor. Lastly, we also have ammonia emitted with it, which is an indirect N2O emitter. So liquid dairy manure storages are very important, especially since the manure is stored year-round, which means that we have the potential for year-round emissions. So what happens on a farm, and this is a picture of the farm that we actually got our manure from, is that your barns will be cleaned at least once a day, and it goes either directly into your tank or into a temporary tank. So this means that your tank on the farm will be filled on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. However, usually when you do research on this in a lab, or in the field as well, you will have batch filling, so it gets filled all in one go. Additionally, usually research will have very clean equipment with no residual manure, and this does happen on the farm. When they empty out the tanks to spread the manure on the field, they'll have leftover manure that creates an inoculum effect. So inoculum effect has been previously studied. An example is Wood et al. 2014, who researched at the same site as us, and he found 56% reduction in methane emissions when there was no inoculum present. However, this looking at the gradual versus batch filling is something that really hasn't been explored much, and so we decided to look at kind of a bit of both of them. So there are research questions. Does gradual filling have higher or lower emissions compared to batch? Does the amount of inoculum affect emissions? Looking at my methods, this is a picture of my site, and I'll go more into detail on that. So the site is in Truro, Nova Scotia. It's called the Bioenvironmental Engineering Center. We use mesoscale manure tanks. They're about 6.6 meters squared, about 180 centimeters deep. So we're trying to replicate in smaller kind of experimental sizes what you have on the farm. We monitored continuously from June to October. We had 139 days of storage. And we have continuous measurements of methane and nitrous oxide using tunable diode lasers. And ammonia was measured 3 times a week for 24 hours with ammonia traps. So this is a picture. You can see it a bit better. Basically, these are continuous flows through chambers. We use greenhouse plastic to capture all the gases inside. You can see one of the tanks emptied here. You can also kind of see a little bit some of the thermocouples there that we used within the tanks and just above it. So it's a picture of it when it's full, and this is particularly active right now. The picture was probably taken sometime before 10 a.m. When we had the most methane emissions. So here's a side picture of it. So how it works is that we will have a pump at the outlet, and the front cover, which you didn't see in the previous picture, just has slants in the front, so the air gets pulled through the chamber and then into the outlet. And at the outlet, we have other piping that takes the samples, and it goes either into the diode lasers or it goes into the ammonia traps. Or we have two separate tubes for that. So we used sand bedding from a local farm. We had gradual fill tanks and we had batch fill tanks. I will say right off the bat that we didn't have any replicates. We had 6 tanks and we had 6 treatments. 3 of them were batch filled and 3 of them were gradual. So the gradual fill tanks were filled in 3 batches every 20 days. So day 0, 20, and then 40. And then of each of those types, we had tanks with either 0 inoculant, 10% inoculant, or 20% inoculant. We also measured ambient inflow air. And then manure samples were done about monthly, and we analyzed them for total solids, volatile solids, nitrogen, phosphorus, pH. Looking at my results, here's just a few pictures so you can get an idea of what it looked like. You can see here that we really didn't have much crust formation, which is very common in some tanks. This is due to the sand bedding that we had. These pictures are from the same tank over the course of about 2 months. So first I'll just briefly touch on the manure a little bit. Because of the sand, it's very unique. It's very heavy, so it falls right to the bottom. We had a very thick kind of sludge sediment layer at the bottom and no crusting, as I mentioned. So in this figure, I'll point out a couple of things. They're done by treatment, as you can see on the bottom, and dry matter percentage on the y-axis. Looking at the start, August 5th, which is about the middle, and then the end of the study for the columns. So first I want to mention that you can see that at the start of the trial we had very variable dry matter throughout the tanks. However, if you look at it by the end, it was very similar. It didn't have as much variability throughout. The other thing that's very interesting about this is that you can clearly see the sedimentation happening of the sand, because all the batch filled tanks, they had pretty similar lower dry matter, while the ones that were gradual all had kind of higher dry matter. So looking at some of my methane results, which is what I will focus on the most because it is, as I said, the predominant gas. So we have on the top, we have batch, and on the bottom, we have gradual tanks, and the methane fluxes here are shown grams per meters cubed. So we did it by volume because the volume changed throughout the storage. So first off, there was a difference between the batch filled and the gradual tanks. There was a 12% reduction in the methane when they were batch filled. And then in the gradual, you can actually see that between the inoculated tanks and the non-inoculated tanks, there was a greater difference. While you don't really see much of a difference in the batch, just interesting. So when you had the no inoculant in the gradual, the lag phase was extended, and you also had a smaller peak. So you can see that right here, the smaller peak. Following the peak, interestingly enough, we had a very similar emissions for the rest of the season. So what this kind of means is that for gradual tanks, it's more important to get rid of the inoculants than in the batch. Here, this figure just shows the methane emissions averaged by the inoculant level, and on this we can see that there was a 24% reduction from the inoculated to the non-inoculated tanks. And this figure just kind of shows all the tanks together, just so that you can have an idea of how they all looked separately. So again, you kind of see the same thing. The batch filled tanks all had similar emissions, while the gradual ones, you had the least here in the non-inoculated with that extended lag phase, and then the ones that did have inoculant exhibited the highest methane emissions. The NTO and ammonia didn't have as much of an interesting result. You see that there wasn't really much of a treatment difference between the gradual and the batch. For the ammonia, there was a little bit higher emissions in the gradual, which makes sense because ammonia is dissolved, and during disturbance it gets emitted. What is interesting about the graph is that your highest the largest difference between the gradual and batch is before the tanks were filled fully, which was July 15th, and that's when the surface area to volume ratio was largest. And this just kind of shows it again in the cumulative version, so you can see it a little bit differently. So looking at the CO2 equivalency of this, we kind of see the same thing. As I mentioned before, the methane was the largest contributor, and you can see that clearly here. And even on the CO2 equivalency, we still find that the inoculated tanks and the gradual fill had the highest emissions, while the non-inoculated gradual tanks had the lowest. So in conclusion, batch filling research may be underestimating emissions compared to gradual filling. Storage cleaning is very important, especially with gradual fill, to decrease methane emissions, and results suggest that interaction of fill type and inoculum level may exist, and more research is needed kind of to explore that. And I'll take any questions.
Should the gradual fill plot with the zero inoculant area kind of some
peaks and falls?
What's going on
there? So every time so that's just like basically on the day that we added the manure, we would have kind of a fall in the methane.
Okay, so that's when you were adding.
Yeah, so I think that it partly has to do with the volume change, and so
okay.
When we do the calculations by volume, it changed a little, and also it just shows that like you're adding on fresh manure.
The tank hold time was more than the 60 days over which you were doing the gradual additions. The measurements were over how many days?
139.
Yeah, okay, but you're adding only the first 60.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So that was kind of a group decision by the entire team. Well, for one, this site, we've had it around for about 10 years. We've been doing research similar to this for a really long time. And so we have kind of a large data set basis of like what we know, what we can expect from the site. So that was one. And then the other was that because we have the continuous measurements, we get a lot of data over time. So I guess it was just a decision to see more of the differences in the effects rather than having replication. Just kind of giving up one for another, I guess. Yeah.
So given that, and how can you have confidence in your conclusions that you made, because you know what the error bars are?
Yeah, so we know kind of, we have a kind of understanding of the site a little bit, so we have some idea of like which tanks tend to have a bit more emissions and which ones don't because of like temperature effects of sun, things like that. So we have a little bit of an idea of that. Of course, without replications, you can't ever really be confident. I mean, well, you can't ever really be confident ever in anything in science, right? But also, I think partly it's the fact that when it comes to manure research like this, especially since we're getting manure from right on the farm, there's so much happening that I feel like we don't really ever have a lot of confidence specifically in this. Like from what I saw, like even just looking at the dry matter, like it should have been consistent because we got it all from the same location at the same time, but it wasn't. So there was a lot of stuff that was happening, and parsing through it is something that I still need to do a little bit, but basically I don't really have a good answer for that. The confidence is just not really ever going to be there. It's just more looking at comparison than anything.
Thank you.